The city of Fargo moves ahead with changes to the downtown engagement center. The Moorhead Police Department moves ahead with a new app that lets you rat on your neighbors without anybody knowing who did it. And prosecutors are moving forward with the case against a local man in big trouble after his drugs caused the death. Good afternoon, my friend. Steve Hallstrom here with you for the Steve Hallstrom Show on this Friday, October 24th. I almost said November 24th. Why in the world would I have done that? Let's not rush this thing ahead any faster than we have to. 1 week from today, it's going to be bananas. Certainly will around here. We like to have fun at Halloween, dress up, costumes, have a good time, bring in some lunch. All those good things. Cannot wait. It's always a fun day around here. And see a lot of little people coming around the building, too, maybe doing a little trick-or-treating in the building, too. So love all of that. Hope you're having a great Friday, my friend. Whether your day is just starting, finishing, or somewhere in between, I appreciate that you give me an opportunity to fill you on what's happened around our region, our community, our country, our world. Wherever the story takes us, that's where we go. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. That's Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. 15 minutes is all you need to buy a new car, truck, or SUV. They make it easy. You can call us today at 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. Now offering counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in soon at valleychristian.co. If you want to email us, studio@flagfamily.com gets the job done. studio@flagfamily.com. You can text as well, 701-237-1590, 237-1590. If you're trying to text the Will Cain Show on Fox News Channel, do not text us at 237-1590 because it doesn't go where you think it is going to go, and it's not going to really do any good. Coming up on the program today, got a bunch of guests coming in today. Jace Kraft from the Royal Family Kids Camp, national nonprofit organization that provides summer camp experiences for kids in foster care. Very cool subject, and we wanted to introduce that to you today, so we'll talk about that. Jeff Kolpak will be here. He is the NDSU football beat writer at the Forum. He's going to join me from a vehicle that is headed down to Brookings, South Dakota. Tomorrow in Brookings, tomorrow night, it'll be the Bison and the Jackrabbits 1-2 in the national rankings. The winner has a definite inside track to the number one overall seed in the playoffs, which is so important. You want all those games at home. So if you can be the number one seed, a big deal. I see Vegas has Bison by 3.5. Sounds about right to me. I feel like NDSU maybe on a neutral field is maybe a touchdown better. But these rivalry games, I tell you what, if you're the home underdog, it's a good place to be. So it'll be tough. It'll be tough. And we'll talk to Jeff about the team, how he thinks they compare to last year's team that won the whole thing, how South Dakota State compares to last year's team. They lost their coach and a ton of players that hopped out for an FBS opportunity. And how about this new quarterback? I guess he's not new. He's been around the program for a while, but he's getting a chance, Cole Payton, to be the guy. And, man, has he been good this year? Does he have a future in the NFL? We'll find out all that from Jeff coming up today. And then Andrew Sletten will be here. Oftentimes you'll hear Andrew filling in for me when I am gone here doing the program. And he is part of the Awakening Fargo movement that's going on. They got a big shindig coming up on Sunday night right here in town. And we're going to give Andrew a chance to tell us a little bit about that. I think it sounds fantastic. And we'll see how many people show up, but we have to get all the details from Andrew. So we'll do that here today as well. All right, let's get to it here with the 4 o'clock wrap. Semi-automatic storylines, rapid-fire rundown of a busy Friday. It is October 24th, 2025. Average high for this day, 51. The average low is 32. Record high, 78 back in 2014. Record low, 7. In 1887, sunrise this morning was at 7:58. Sunset will be at 6:23. When we get together again on Monday, I will be telling you that sunrise this morning was at 8:02, sunrising after the work bell rings, at least for many of us. We're to that point of the year. I guess if you want to look at it that way, we're only 2 months away from gaining more daylight hours, so you could say that. Pretty good day on Wall Street today. A big rally. The Dow up 472, S&P 500 up 53, NASDAQ up 263. WTI crude oil pretty much unchanged, $61.40 a barrel. Gold down $20 an ounce after a remarkable run-up at $4,126. Silver down 29 cents at $48.41. And Bitcoin today unchanged, right around $110,500 per Bitcoin. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is down a penny from yesterday. $3.06 is the national average. North Dakota, $2.84. Minnesota, $2.90. South Dakota, $2.85. In the news today, WDAY Radio reports the city of Fargo is set to move a step closer to relocating the downtown engagement center. A discussion surrounding a proposed lease agreement is on the agenda for Monday night city commission meeting. It would be property that is at First Avenue North, just east of the Fargo Police Department headquarters on 25th Street North, about a 54,000 square foot building. And there is a lease that this could be signed on this deal starting January 1 for a period of 3 years. They're finally getting around to it. Downtown Fargo. Meanwhile, across the river, the Moorhead PD has created a new way for people to send in anonymous tips. The tip 411 is for non-emergency use only. The first method is a text message, which can be done by texting the keyword tip Moorhead, followed by your message to 847-411. Second option, download the Moorhead Police Department app. That lets you submit tips and access department website and social media platforms. Valley News Live also reports that a 41-year-old Fargo man is facing felony charges in connection with a fatal overdose occurred earlier this month. James Beal has been charged with delivering fentanyl that caused an overdose death. October 10th of this year, so just a couple of weeks ago, police officers responded to a suspected overdose death at a house on 47th Avenue South. Officers found a woman dead in a basement bedroom with evidence indicating an overdose. They took a look at cell phone records, found out that this guy has been part of the deal. He was getting her the drugs there, and there is evidence of fentanyl sales. And so now this guy is facing the music. The first court appearance scheduled for this afternoon. I like to put those stories in because when people are overdosing, there needs to be swift and strong justice. So hopefully that happens in this case. Bismarck Tribune reports the North Dakota oil and gas output has continued at a relatively steady pace despite stubbornly low prices. According to the officials at the Department of Mineral Resources, production dipped slightly in August after small upticks the months prior, according to the numbers released by Mineral Resources. The state produced an average of 1.15 million barrels of oil per day in August, down slightly from 1.16 in July. Other news today, CNBC reports that the Social Security cost of living adjustment for 2026, the much-awaited announcement made today, the COLA, as they call it, adjustment will be 2.8%. That means the average retiree who is getting benefits on Social Security will get about $56 a month more starting in January. Over the last 20 years, the adjustments averaged about 2.6. So inflation right around there for the last 12 months or so, and so they're going to keep it right around there. Speaking of inflation, the much-awaited Consumer Price Index announcement came out today showing an increase of 0.3% on the month, putting the annual inflation rate at 3%, both lower than expected. So some friendly surprises, I guess, on that. People thought it would be higher than that. Still 3%, 3.6, however you want to do the math. We still have prices increasing. There's no question about that. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem is in Minneapolis today talking about ICE operations in an afternoon press conference that's taking place right about now. Weeks ago, federal government sued Minnesota and the Twin Cities, claiming sanctuary city policies interfere with immigration enforcement. You can watch the live stream if you'd like to do that on our website, am1100theflag.com. Congresswoman Julie Fedorchuk's fundraising totals are coming out strong in the third quarter. She reportedly raised more than $750,000 to date, and that gives her more than $770,000 of cash on hand, putting her in the top bracket of Republican freshman members across the United States. She's been recently endorsed by President Trump, serving her first congressional term. There will no doubt be a primary challenge for her in the spring of next year, but having that incumbency as attached to her name is a good thing, and she will be very, very hard to beat. She's thought of very highly among the Republican Party within the state and many key people as well. And finally, North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney wants North Dakota's congressional delegation to find solutions quick because of what he calls reckless decisions by the Trump administration. Trump has said he wants to buy beef from Argentina to bring costs down for Americans, and he's also critical of the tariff policy that has led to China buying more soybeans from Argentina than the United States. 4:17 here on the Steve Alstrom Show, and those friends are some of the stories that are making headlines here on this Friday afternoon. When we come back on the Steve Alstrom Show, a national nonprofit organization that's making things better for kids all across our country and here at home as well. We're going to introduce you to the Royal Family Kids Camp when we come back on the Steve Alstrom Show. Don't go away. One of the things we love to do on this show is tell stories about people who are making others' lives better, and especially among our kids. And I'm pleased to have in studio today Jace Kraft from the Royal Family Kids Camp. Jace, thanks very much for stopping in here today. Good to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. So tell us, what is the Royal Family Kids Camp?
Yeah, the Royal Family Kids Camp is a camp for kids who have gone through abuse or neglect in their house. So these kids are largely there in foster care. Sometimes they've been adopted or with a grandparent. But the kids that come to our camp exhibit behaviors because they have trauma in their past. And so we give them a space to feel safe and to have a successful week of camp.
Is this a camp that goes on here in Fargo-Moorhead? Is it somewhere else? Tell us about kind of where it all happens.
Yeah, it originated 40 years ago, started in California. Now there's over 220 camps across the United States. We started the one here in Fargo 3 years ago. This will be our fourth year. So it's the first camp in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. You must have some great stories about your kids that you've been in contact with that come back to you and say, hey, this really made a difference. I was able to sort some things out with life at camp, met some great people, grew up a lot. Must be very fulfilling to be part of what you're doing and see some of those great stories come together.
Yeah, it's what makes it all worth it, really. I'll give a quick story here about one of our campers. I can't use his real name, but I'll call him Orion. He moved through seven different foster homes.
Seven. Wow.
Yeah, with the 8 months leading up to camp. So basically one a month. And he was the type of kid that came to camp. You could tell he was really angry. You brush up against him wrong, he'd turn and punch you. Mm. Right? Or if you look at him wrong, he'd turn and punch you. And it's kids like these that they're not going to be successful at traditional
anything,
camp, right?
Yeah.
So we were able to facilitate a great week of camp for him because we have 1.5 adults that we have to bring per child that comes to camp. So we gave him plenty of one-on-one positive adult attention. And really what makes the difference of our camp is they get to exhibit the behaviors that they have, but we get to love them through that. And just one instance with this guy, or with this camper, he actually got in a little brawl with another camper, and we separated him. And I just, as we were separating him, I gave him a side hug, and I say, we love you. We care for you. You're safe here. We love you. We care for you. You're safe here. I mean, you could just see his body, relax and feel safe. And then we got to talk to his mentor and kind of debrief the situation for him. And afterwards, unprompted, he went and apologized to the other camper, and they were best friends the rest of the week.
Oh, how about that?
We got to see this camper come back the next year, and it's just a totally different kid. You could see the anger, but there was no punching. There was no, aggression towards other people. And the kicker, I get a text after the second year from his caseworker of him praying over a homeless guy because when he was getting dropped off to go home, he wanted to pray for this homeless guy and give him some change. So the person that dropped him off and let him do that, and they did that together. And so those are the types of stories that we get to hear at camp, and that's what makes it all worth it.
You've got an event coming up, or you've got a campaign going on, I should say, that allows people, especially business owners, to get involved and maybe make a difference. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this January we're doing a royal banquet for a fundraiser for camp, and we're asking businesses to sponsor tables for one kid to come to camp. And then during Giving Hearts Day, we'll match that. So if a business is willing to sponsor one kid, we'll take two, essentially. And so, yeah, if you would like more information about that, you can visit our website and stuff too. So.
Very good. We appreciate you come by sharing the story. The website that you have is fargo.rfkcentral.com. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
Fargo.rfk. So think about the Health and Human Services guy. Fargo.rfkcentral.com. You can find out more. Jace, thanks for coming by. Great to meet you. Congrats on all you're doing. Thanks for making a difference in the world.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here. 426 here. Steve Alsham Show. Speaking about making a difference in the world, the good folks at Awakening Fargo have a big event coming up on Sunday as well at the Delta Hotel, 6 o'clock Sunday night. And you know how it feels right now. Things just seem really heavy, divided in our country. Maybe even you feel a little hopeless at times, but there's something powerful that's happening right here in our community called Awakening Fargo. So show up, turn out, get involved. It's an evening of worship, prayer, and community connection, a night to seek healing, unity, and the Holy Spirit together right here in the Red River Valley. Details at awakeningfargo.com. That's awakeningfargo.com, because together we are stronger. Well, let me get my Viking stuff out of the way here, because you knew I was going to have to give you a couple minutes on this. I am saddened, really, as I'm sitting here today, believing that we probably saw the last meaningful reps for Carson Wentz, barring an injury, which I guess that can certainly happen some other time too. But it was probably that last chance for Carson to really say, hey, I know the young kid's coming back next week, but I'm not ready to give this job up. He didn't play great, didn't play terrible. He's been he came into the game injured, and he just got banged around. Say what you want about Carson Wentz. That guy is tough, man. He was just getting hammered. You could see on the sidelines that he was just so discouraged or frustrated or whatever, disappointed. He was just looking up at the ceiling. He got so little help from his offensive line, so little help. They were without their starting right tackle, their starting center, and then their left tackle played a little bit, and then he was kind of on limited duty anyway, so he didn't play most of the game. Their left guard is a rookie. The right guard is a decent guard, but he's like solid, if not spectacular, and he's the star of the show. The guys that replaced the two tackles, they're just not that good. They're just not. Maybe they'll get better in time, but they weren't good last night. And a very average Chargers defense really shut the Vikings down. Carson missed some throws, had one bad throw for an interception. And I felt like at the end of that game, first of all, I thought the Vikings were trying to get him killed. I thought they must have a life insurance policy out on Carson Wentz, because they're trying to cash in on it tonight. And based on just the pounding he took, it just kind of felt like, Carson, take one for the team. The coach said after the game, he kept telling us, I'll go back in there, even though they had a healthy backup guy that could have played. J.J. McCarthy is supposed to be ready a week from Sunday when the Vikings get back into action, and they're going to be at Detroit, maybe the best team in the NFC. So it's not going to be easy for the Vikings. They are now 3-4, if I remember, or 4-3, and the road gets really tough here for the Vikes. There are no easy games for a long time, and the Vikings have a lot of questions to answer. But I will say my biggest disappointment wasn't anything on the offense. It was the defense. The Vikings defense, which was so good last couple of years, is just a shell of itself. You can run on the Vikings. You can throw on the Vikings. I think total yards last night were 480 to 130. And the Vikings could not stop the Chargers, who struggled mightily last week against Indy, against the Colts. So they're not tackling. They're not covering. They cannot get pass rush. And on both the offensive and defensive lines, they are getting owned at the line of scrimmage. They cannot win in the trenches on either side of the ball right now. And 37-10 actually feels lucky. The Vikings would not have had that one touchdown if it weren't for the Chargers committing three penalties in a row, basically, to extend a drive where they were going to pretty much get nothing, maybe a field goal. So it was a bad run for the Vikings last night. It was the biggest no-show that I can remember under Kevin O'Connell. And that's a problem. We got a long way to go in this season. and it just didn't look like they wanted to be there. The nonverbals were horrible. There was no energy, nobody making a spark. It's a tough spot for the Vikings right now, and someone's going to have to explain to me how the Cincinnati Bengals can scheme open Ja'Marr Chase for 16 catches last week, and Justin Jefferson, who I think is one of the best 2-3 receivers in the game, they can't get him the ball more than 4 or 5 times a game. It does not make any sense to me. And as I heard the Shanley football coach, Troy Mattern, say earlier today, he said, what's with the Vikings? Their plan seems to be drop back with a quarterback who's kind of struggling with a bad offensive line, tell all the receivers to run 20 yards downfield, because that's what they're doing. And the quarterback doesn't have time, and there's nobody running the short routes. It just, the whole thing just doesn't make sense to me. It could be a tough year. It could be one of those years when the Vikings just cannot get much going. We'll see. It's a long season. They're certainly not out of playoff contention, but they are a million miles away from looking like a playoff team. 431, Steve Alstrom Show. Check the news. Emailer Ken said, Steve, did you see last night on the Vikings game, J.J. McCarthy was on the sideline, but when the players came to him running out of bounds on a play, he sure looked nimble. I wonder how hurt he really is. Well, that's been the question. We don't know. We don't know. I have learned over time that I don't know as much as I think I do most of the time. My gut feeling on this is that if it was Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or one of the other established quarterbacks and they had the same injury, they would have been back a couple, 3 weeks ago. Now, I don't know that, but it's just a hunch that I have. And there are people who will say, oh, hey, look, though, high ankle sprains, those are bad deals. And they'll even list for you. Here's guys that were out 7, 8, 9 weeks with a high ankle sprain. And so J.J. actually may be coming back a little faster. Okay, J.J. McCarthy finished the game where he injured the ankle. And I'm not saying supposedly. He did. He hurt the ankle. We saw him kind of limping around there a little bit, but he finished the game. And you know how ankles are. If you've ever turned an ankle, it feels fine until you get off it. And then, like, the next morning you wake up, you're like, oh, my word. And then it can turn black and blue and everything else. I have no doubt that there's been an injury. But J.J. McCarthy did not have to leave the game on a cart or a gurney or anything else like that when he hurt his ankle. He finished up. So, yes, I get high ankle sprains can be tough. It really feels to me like they were hoping that Carson Wentz could buy some time so that they could continue to work with him before they brought him back. Well, Carson Wentz is a wonderful human being, and he's made our state so proud. But he does not have what it takes, at least he doesn't right now, with the talent ability, the understanding of the offense, the scheme they have, whatever. In the current situation that he's in, he is not the guy that can lead them to the playoffs and potentially make a run. We don't know if McCarthy is either, but we kind of know that Carson isn't. So they're going to take this weekend off. They get the bye week now that they played last night, and it'll be J.J. McCarthy coming up next week. So we'll see. They felt good enough about McCarthy to let a couple of guys go from their roster in the offseason, and those guys both are doing very well. So I tend to believe that they still think that he's the guy, but I also have a weird feeling they saw something in his first couple of games that they didn't like, and they felt like, okay, we're going to need some time on this one, so this has been a good opportunity to do it. He missed all of last year with a knee injury and now has missed all but 2 games with the ankle. I hope this is not going to be one of those players that we say, you know what, a lot of talent, but he just could not stay on the field, couldn't stay healthy. I got an email earlier today from a gentleman who listens to the show, and he said, Steve, I just wanted to show you this. An event. It's a link to an event that my church is sponsoring, and gives the link and said, I'm alarmed by the message that she's pushing. I just wanted to make sure this is something people are aware of in our FM community. Using the pulpit to push this type of dialogue is a very slippery slope. Thanks for all you do for our community and country as a whole. To that, a gentleman whose name I will leave off of this because I don't know that this gentleman is interested in having his name attached to it, I would say this. I Well, I did say I can't open the link. It's an external link. He sent me a screenshot. And the title of the presentation will be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at the Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Moorhead. And the title is Dangerous Crossroad, Forum on Christian Nationalism with Reverend Angela Denker. Okay, I said, well, let me find out who Angela Denker is. My suspicions are raised. Her webpage shows that she's a very accomplished speaker, author, and pastor. She is a reverend, so she's been ordained in the ELCA, Lutheran Church there. She's a veteran journalist as well. And so these are the accomplishments. Her work recently has been highlighted by a new book out called Disciples of White Jesus, The Radicalization of American Boyhood. There is another book that she's written called Red State Christians, A Journey into White Christian Nationalism and the Wreckage It Leaves Behind. So I don't know that Reverend Denker voted for Donald Trump in the last election, or maybe in the first one either, because it feels like we've got someone here who is going to tell you that the words white Christian nationalism mean something different than they really do. I have joked with you many times before, really just to try to get a rise out of some people who get triggered by these things, that I am happy to say that I am a proud white Christian nationalist. I am a white guy. I'm not necessarily proud of that. It's just what I am. I happen to be a believer. It's probably the number one thing in my life. And I am a nationalist. I think America is the greatest country that's ever been created. And I believe that societies, businesses, churches, nonprofits run best when they are run by people who adhere to biblical principles. And you don't obviously make everybody who works for you believe a certain way. We don't, at our business, we certainly don't hire that way. But if you take a look at what the Bible teaches about life and money and relationships and integrity and all that, I say, why would you not want to model your whatever after what you read in the good book? So that makes me, I think, a white Christian nationalist. Now, of course, when you hear this term used by the liberal folks, they say, well, this is toxic. This is people who are, they want you taken out back and shot if you don't believe in God. And if, you know, there's any, you know, there's any pro-life nuances in policy, people need to be taken out back and shot. There's to be no gambling, no alcohol, no whatever. That's the narrative that gets created here. And generally, they'll tell you that all of the white Christian nationalists are Trump fans and they hate black and brown people, which, of course, is silly since we've all moved out of the second grade at this point. So to our listener friend who sent this in, I would say that I think you have a choice to make as to if this is a church that you want to support. Not because they're having this speaker come in particular with this subject matter, but my question is this the church that you want to go to if they are having speakers that come in who are clearly going to make political statements? If I'm wrong on that, someone call me on Monday if you go to the thing, and I will apologize. But this the bio of this author says the book of Disciples of White Jesus came out, and she's talking about social issues and justice and things like this, and has all these books. There's nothing wrong with being white person, being a Christian, or being a nationalist. In fact, I would tell you, we can build really good societies, really good organizations on that. And I don't know any more than that about Reverend Denker, except when I see titles like this, it makes me very, very nervous about the division that we're going to cause. And if this is the entire basis for the speech, is coming and talking about how white Christian nationalism is wrong, this will connect dots that aren't there to people who don't have the hate that they tell you that they do. Because you know me, if you've listened to the show at all, I'm like more comfortable around most black and brown people than I am around white people. I have nothing but respect. I don't love anybody any more or any less. The color of your skin is no more important to me than if you're tall or short or if you've got black hair or brown hair. I don't really care. God created all of us in his image, and a true conservative wants upward mobility and opportunity for everyone. So I've seen this movie before, and I could be wrong, and if so, I will eat all the crow there. But why is a church bringing somebody in who's having this sort of a platform to come to the church and talk about the dangerous crossroad about Christian nationalism? Why would we not want the ideas of our faith, especially if you're a reverend, to permeate as much of society as possible? But this will be interesting to see. I'd be very uncomfortable if this came to my church. I would go, because I want to see exactly what it is that happens, because I don't want to jump to conclusions that aren't there if it's something where I'm going to get involved with my church leadership. But if this turns into accusing people who are conservatives, Republicans, white people, whatever, of being bad people, evil, wrong, whatever, just because they are believers and they want to have as much Christianity permeate society as possible. I mean, look at what we see from folks coming from other places overseas who are people of the Muslim faith. They want Sharia law. They want all their local traditions and all of that. They bring all of their religious traditions in, and they want those things to be the way that the country goes more and more. This is not a surprise to anybody, and you knew this would happen. In our country, we say you're welcome to come here. We have certain ways of doing things here, and we have certain traditions that we hope you uphold. You can believe whatever you believe, but we are one country under God, as we always have been. These are traditions that mean a lot to us. And so if loving that's wrong, I don't want to be right. So I would go to that, I would listen, and I would see if there's anything that I would take offense to. If there's anything I feel like they're accusing me, either being a white person, a male, a Christian, whatever, accusing me of doing something wrong or immoral just for being who I am, I would have big problems. I would look at finding a new church, to be quite honest with you, if I did not like what I saw. You better know, if you're bringing somebody and putting them on the stage in your church, that is a representation of that leadership in that church and believing what they believe. So whatever this woman believes, they do not have the luxury afterwards to say, oh, you know, I guess we got it wrong. That was, who saw that coming? No, you vetted that speaker. You want that speaker to be at your church. And you know what? Again, I'll say this. It might be fine. It might be fine. There may be no fingers pointed. There may be no guilt trips. There may be no name calling or chance of you racist or what. There may be none of that. But if there is, then that church would have some explaining to do. No question about that. 450, Steve Hallstrom Show. How would you handle it if that was coming to your church? Our church is so hyper sensitive on no politics that you wouldn't have anybody pro, con, whatever on anything like that coming to the church. Now, I enjoy a good conversation about the world around us and social issues and how the Bible applies to all that. But this to me feels like it's something quite a bit different, at least every other time I've seen this sort of a setup. So we'll see. I hope some people go, and I hope somebody calls me on Monday during the show and tells me what it was and what they liked, what they didn't. Again, we're going to wait, and we're going to make our judgments as it happens. But I'm telling you, my radar's up on this one. That's all I'm saying. 450 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, short break for us. And then when we return, 2 months to Christmas, and here's what retail leaders expect for holiday shopping. What's it going to look like in the store here over the next couple of months? That's next. Okay, had a couple emails pop in about this last conversation about the white Christian nationalism here. Emailer John, Steve, are women to be submissive and only used as a vessel for childbearing? Should there have been a Civil Rights Act? Only one vote per household, and that's the man? Maybe have that reverend on your show to explain. Well, I can only answer the questions that you've put out here, John. Number one, the Bible doesn't talk about a blanket inferiority of women. And I feel like that's kind of what you're implying here. Now, the Bible does talk about wives submit to your husbands, but that's, if you pull that out, you're missing the entire context. It talks about the responsibility of a man to serve and lead and give and to treat her equally. And in many cases, as you read through the verses, what you find is, you know, get down in the muck and lift her up to, you know, present her as the queen, right? So you can get all tied up about submissive and that means inferior. It doesn't mean inferior. There's nowhere in the Bible does it say women are inferior to men. And that's the whole servant leadership thing, right? I mean, we talk about that kind of in business too. The higher you up, higher you are up on the totem pole, the further down you are in the muck lifting people up to get out of it. That's how it works. And why would you not want to invest? None of us guys are perfect at it, but why would you not want to serve your wife the best you can? As husbands, we should be asking that on a regular basis. Hey, babe, what can I do? You know, how can I make you happy? Are you doing okay? What can I do? And then we got to listen when they say, hey, that means you got to scrub the floor once in a while, right? That's part of it too. So people pull that out a lot and try to say, well, the Bible, you Christians believe. Nothing of the sort. If your wife is the breadwinner, there's nothing anti-biblical about that. The male should provide, but it doesn't say exactly how or in what way. If that works out best for your family, no issue with that. Should there have been a Civil Rights Act? What are you kidding me? Should there have been a Civil Rights Act? What are you trying to get out there? Yeah, of course. Why not? Had to save the people of color from the Democrats back in the day. So we needed a Civil Rights Act. Only one vote per household, and that's the man. Doesn't say that. It's not what the Bible teaches. So I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of, well, here's what Christians really believe. But talk to a happy wife in a biblical, God-honoring marriage and see how she's treated. Doesn't mean every guy does it right. Doesn't mean I do it right. Doesn't mean any guy is perfect at this. But these aren't rules that most Christians came up with. They're not a rule that any Christians came up with. This is what the Bible says. And you adhere to it the very best you can. And you pray for strength and guidance and wisdom and all that. Do the best that you can. And there's a reason it's in there. And if you talk, some of the happiest people are people who live in those marriages because the wife doesn't feel like she's a slave. And the husband doesn't act like a slave master. So anyway, just a couple thoughts there, John, on how I would answer your question. Women are not only to be used as a vessel for childbearing. That's insulting. Hour number two of the Steve Ahlstrom Show coming up right after this. Here we go with hour number two of the Steve Ahlstrom Show on this Friday afternoon. Getting a little sun out there now. We started with some sun, then it was cloudy all day. Now seeing a little bit of sun out there. Breezy, though, today. It's been a windy one, and will likely be a fairly breezy one all weekend. The temps are going to be nice, but we're going to have that nice, calm weather like we had yesterday. Wasn't that great? But we're not going to be freezing, so we'll take that, especially everybody who's heading outside to watch a football game or do things outside over the weekend. Should be a darn nice weekend. This hour of the program is brought to you in part by Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. Have you noticed how many Vision Fords and Vision Lincolns you're seeing here in the metro? Well, one of them is mine. When you shop with Vision Ford Lincoln, you'll get that first car feel all over again, because they make buying a car easy. 15 minutes and the paperwork is done. They don't try to sell you every possible extra high gloss finish and carpeting in the car with an extra protective something or another and a little hood ornament. You know, sometimes you go to buy the car, it takes you longer to fill out the paperwork and sit through the full court press than it does to do anything else. But at Vision Ford Lincoln, they make it easy. And once you buy the car, too, it's easy because they have 18 service drivers to drive you to your car or your car to you for those oil changes and service visits. There's cars flying up and down I-29 from Wahpeton coming up here to the metro. Buy your Ford from Ward. Drive with Vision. Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton, online at drivewithvision.com. Here are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Stories that pass the so what test. We like to find stories that have an impact on our day-to-day life. And for a lot of you, you have been wondering when the new numbers are going to come out for Social Security. because every year there's a cost of living adjustment based on inflation rates, and the Social Security Administration made that announcement today, what the cost of living benefit looks like for 2026. It will be 2.8%. So you'll get, on average, about $56 a month more than you got in 2025 starting in January. Over the last 20 years, CNBC reports that the cost of living increase has been 2.6%. So if you are someone who gets those checks in the mail, that's kind of what you're looking at there. Social Security, according to AARP, is the primary source of income for about 40% of older Americans. So very interesting. It was 2.5 last year. So we're a little bit higher than that. So there you go. And a little bit more money coming in the mail. Story number two also comes from CNBC.com. The consumer price index today showed a 0.3% increase on the month, putting the annual inflation rate at 3%. So month over month, we saw prices increase by 0.3%. Year over year, when you take the September numbers, it shows that inflation is about 3%. So that's the big number in today. Expectations were that there were going to be higher numbers than that. They were expecting 3.1% and 0.4. So it was a solid beat there. And the CPI data is reflective of basically all of the things, or many of them, a basket of goods and services that we typically buy. Within the food piece of that, prices for meat, poultry, fish, and eggs were up 5.2% in the last year, while non-alcoholic beverages increased 5.3%. Shelter costs rose just 0.2% month over month. They were up 3.6% from a year ago. New vehicles had a 0.8% increase, but used car and truck prices fell 0.4%. So some things are coming down just a little bit, and that's story number two. Story number three is the city of Fargo is set to move closer to the relocation of the downtown engagement center when the city commission meets on Monday night. There is going to be a proposed lease agreement to rent some space just east of the Fargo PD headquarters on 25th Street North and 1st Avenue. There is a 54,000-square-foot building there, and that would be the place. Bollinger Enterprises owns it right now. It is expected to be a three-year agreement if they do it starting January 1st. So they may be moving the Downtown Engagement Center somewhere other than downtown. They'll have to rename it then when they send it over that way. So big deal here. This has been one of the things the people have said, if we're really going to make a difference in what the activity looks like downtown, we got to do things like this. So city commission doing the hard things. We have not seen nearly enough of that. Story number four, Valley News Live reports that if you live in Moorhead, you have a new way to send in an anonymous tip to the police. You can just put in the keyword tip Moorhead, just like it sounds, tip Moorhead, followed by your message to 847-411. So you go 847-411 and tip Moorhead. That's how you get the tip over there. You can also download the Moorhead Police Department app, which lets you submit things via the online portal there as well. As always, Valley News Live reminds you, call 911 if it is an emergency. So there you have it on that one. And finally today, I put out this story to you that we are, the headline is, we're starting to see cracks in Minnesota's economy. And this starts by talking about the Target cut, which I don't think people are exactly understanding what that's all about. It is a 8% cut of the corporate staff, 1,800 positions overall. And some of the comments you're hearing from some economics people across the state of Minnesota is very interesting. A St. Benedict's professor quoted in the Star Tribune article says, the job market in Minnesota is frozen right now. People aren't quitting. Employers aren't hiring. We're starting to see cracks where businesses are finally deciding, okay, we have to make a move. Companies like Target and General Mills have ratcheted down their growth prospects for the time ahead. At the same time, they've got to ante up for AI and technology advancements as they try to reshape their workforce and their productivity there. One note I thought was really interesting here is that Target said in its second quarter, so in just one quarter, the company has invested more than 10,000 new generative AI licenses. This is, you know, the ChatGPTs and so forth that let you kind of create more than just research something, you know, get, you know, hey, what's the best restaurant in town? These allow you to actually create spreadsheets and build business plans and things like that. That's a lot, 10,000. So if they cut 1,800 people, and that's basically 10% of their workforce, that means they got about 18,000 people. So basically every other employee got a new generative AI license in quarter number two. So they did say, which is kind of weird, Target, that the restructuring wasn't about cutting costs. But one of the people interviewed in the story said, of course it is. it may not be so much as cutting costs as trying to keep them from growing as fast as they would otherwise. So very interesting. Leadership roles will be cut at three times the rate of the rank and file. Employees will find out Tuesday whether they still have a job. A lot of nervous Target employees, that's for sure. Thought that was interesting and some notable nuggets there. And those, friends, are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Stories that matter here on a Friday afternoon. All right, when we come back on the other side, it's the game of the year in FCS football, at least in the regular season it is. NDSU, South Dakota State, tomorrow night in Brookings. Should be a heck of a Saturday night down there, and the eyes of the FCS world will be watching. Jeff Kolpak is a beat writer for the Forum for NDSU Football, and he joins us next on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Well, there are going to be a whole bunch of vehicles from the metro area, all parts of North Dakota, heading south on I-29. It's Bison Jacks, the annual Dakota Marker game, coming up tomorrow night down in Brookings. And you've got number one NDSU, number two South Dakota State. Both teams are 7-0, and the winner has the inside track to a whole lot of things. Missouri Valley Football Conference Championship possibilities, as well as potentially that number one overall seed in the playoffs. So helpful to be able to get those home games and make sure that you got everybody coming to your place. Jeff Kolpak is one of the many who is headed down to Brookings, actually on his way down there right now. He's been good enough to take a few minutes here with us. Jeff, the beat writer for NDSU football at the Forum. Good afternoon, Mr. Kolpak. How are you?
Mr. Hallstrom, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. Well, this one ought to be fun.
Well, they're all fun, aren't they? I just, you know, since you and I both covered this program going Division One, never thought that South Dakota State would match NDSU, but they did. They've exceeded at times, and every game's just been, you know, pretty drama-filled. There hasn't been many blowouts.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah, I think you said it well. It's kind of gone back and forth. For a long time, NDSU was probably a more dominant program, and then South Dakota State caught them and passed them and won a couple of national championships. Now NDSU kind of bounces back. These two teams and programs have really made each other better, haven't they?
Well, yeah, and it's 11-10 is the series right now on the Dakota Marker Division I series in favor. I believe NDSU, yeah, 11-10. So, that gives the indication that, you know, that goes back and forth. The Bison are 4-6 in Brookings, and, you know, it's a tough place to play. You know, we look back at it, Steve, you and I, and just never saw either of these programs being so dominant in Division One.
Yeah.
You know, part of it, of course, is some teams have left, and we know that. But I mean, you thought maybe they'd hope to get in the playoffs? You know, we didn't know. We had no idea, you know, and you had no idea the level of Division One and the fact that these two are just, along with the Montanas, have just taken over FCS. There's no way you could have seen that.
No, you're 100% right. I remember when they made that transition. I was working for WDAY-TV at the time, and you and I talked about this stuff on every plane ride to the game and car rides wherever. You know, when they made that move, we're like, man, what would this town be like if the Bison ever had a home playoff game? You know, we're like, wow,
yeah,
that would just blow us away. And now it's like, oh, you got 11 national championships or whatever it might be. But it is amazing how these teams have really taken advantage of the opportunity. And boy, who knew that the programs could have this kind of success? You take a look this week in the Sagarin ratings, NDSU is number 44 in the country, the top FCS team, and South Dakota State is the number 2 team in, Montana State snuck ahead of them this week in the Sagarin ratings there, but they've been 1 and 2 there. And you take a look at NDSU's case, they statistically, according to these number wonks that put these things together, they would beat Kansas State, Minnesota, Mississippi State, Kansas, Baylor, Kentucky, Houston, Colorado. It's crazy to see what's happened with these teams and the success that they have had. Which team do you think, Jeff, has had a better season to date? I know they're both undefeated so far, but who's got the better resume coming in?
Well, I think NDSU is probably the better team, maybe. But I think South Dakota State has had the better season just because what they lost from last year. I mean, they got ravaged in the portal. It was 16, 17 guys went to Washington State with the head coach and entire staff, a couple to Northwestern, tight end to Illinois. They just got gutted. And then to come back and play as well as they have and 7-0, I guess nobody really saw it. It was unprecedented in the transfer portal world how badly they got, they lost players. So I guess you really didn't know, but it's a developmental program, just like NDSU. We didn't know how good the backups were because we never saw them.
Right.
But obviously they're pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, yes. No doubt. A lot of guys have filled in and done a really good job. Tell us about South Dakota State's offense. Do they throw it? Do they run it? I know they lost a very good quarterback, Mark Gronowski, to Iowa, who left for the Big Ten in the portal. What are they doing offensively right now to score some points?
Yeah, these programs haven't changed at all over the years. You know, so the story is their quarterback, Chase Mason. Is he hurt? Is he going to play? I mean, he left last week's game against Murray with looked like an ankle injury. You know, how healthy if he does play? I mean, the guy's a dual threat, just like Cole Payton. He's a very good runner. He's huge. These are two really big quarterbacks and really fast. You know, like Cole's 6'3", 234. Mason's 6'3", 240. You know, those are big dudes and hard to break down. But the story is, we'll see. And we won't know until, I suppose, they come out for warm-ups, is will Chase Mason play? If he does, is he 100% or somewhat close to it?
Yeah. The Bison come into this game off of a 38-7 win at Indiana State, and they've been really solid both offensively and defensively, scoring a fair amount of points, limiting the other teams. It looks like NDSU's kind of starting to feel like they could be one of those teams again. How do you compare this group to the team that won it all last year?
Maybe. It looks pretty similar. You know, a lot of it hinged on the quarterback. I mean, Cam Miller was really good, and we didn't know what Cole Payton offered as a full-time starter. Didn't really know if he could throw the rock. And we knew he could run it, and we saw that plenty over the last few years. But he's been really good. I mean, he leads the FCS in passing efficiency. I think that's pretty good, Steve, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
About as good as
about as good as you can do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Randy Hedberg, you know, he warned us. He goes, "A guy can throw," and so I apologize to Randy every dang radio interview. So,
well, we just didn't see it. You know, he never had to, and he was kind of the guy that came in as the sort of the running quarterback, and all of a sudden we're watching him drop dimes and he's running around looking like Lamar Jackson, and all of a sudden you're thinking, man, this guy might have a future beyond NDSU. Are people talking about him as a potential NFL guy?
Not that I know of, but they should be. And I think the stat that really pops me is he leads the country in yards per completion. So he's been really good, you know, in the medium routes, and he's throwing a couple of really good deep balls. I mean, it's one thing to come in as a first-year starter and throw swing passes and screens. But the fact he's been so accurate downfield, and again, we didn't know. But here's a thing I always tell people, though. I don't think Bryce Lance would have came back if he didn't think Cole Payton could throw. I don't think he would have. It's just a guess. And, you know, and Bryce is one of the best receivers in the country. So, obviously, maybe that was a clue that the fact Bryce Lance came back, that he figured Cole would be a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, weren't they talking about Bryce Lance, that he's a guy who could be like $1 million a year guy if he went to one of the big boys and he chose to come back?
That was a rumor, yeah.
Wow.
That was definitely out there. I mean, I don't know how firm, but let's just put it this way. A lot of money, Steve. Yep. A lot of money.
A lot of money. Well, hopefully he's got a lot of money coming after he is done at NDSU. I got to ask you about UND, the Fighting Hawks under first-year coach Eric Schmidt. They have looked very good here, too, and they are. It seems like they've kind of regained a little bit of toughness, not a surprise with Coach Schmidt there. We remember him from being one of the great linebackers that UND has had come through their program. Now he's the coach, and, boy, they've taken a nice step, too. And both the Bison and the Jackrabbits have to go to Grand Forks this year before it's all said and done. Is UND on the same level with these two teams, Jeff, do you think?
I think so. It sure seems like it. They should have won at Kansas State. Should have won at Montana. I mean, those are two games that went down to the wire. They could very easily be unbeaten, too. That's an incredible coaching job that Eric's done up there. Again, like South Dakota State losing all those guys, we didn't know what UND was really going to be like. And they found their quarterback, which, again, that's where it starts, Jerry Kaminsky, who, I don't know, you know, last year he didn't play at all.
Yeah.
So did he get better in the off season? Is it different coaching? Is it a little different style? I don't know. I haven't really got into it that much. But they got one of the best quarterbacks in the country, too. Those are, you know, between UND, NDSU, South Dakota State, there's three legitimate national title threats, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so, too. If you look at Sagarin, which, again, is sort of a kind of like the pairwise rankings in hockey, it's all data-driven, you know, who you've played and how they have done against other teams. North Dakota is the fourth best team in that ranking system behind NDSU, Montana State, and South Dakota State. So wouldn't that be fun to have a Final Four this year of the Bobcats and the Jackrabbits, the Bison, and the Fighting Hawks? That would be a fun one there. Jeff,
well, what do those four have in common, though? They all have great, nice indoor practice facilities. They have good facilities, and they invest in football.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
They're putting the money into it.
Apparently, and at least in the case of UND NDSU and South Dakota State, they can come up with some NIL money somehow because you know, they've both of those programs have had guys turn down big deals to go to other places to come back to their schools. So there's money behind those programs, no doubt. I know that you typically make your predictions on Saturday morning, so we won't make you give up the goods quite yet. But I see Vegas has the Bison as a 3.5-point favorite going in, and you know a lot more about these teams, and you see them a lot more than I do. But to me, that feels like it's about right. Maybe on a neutral field, NDSU is a touchdown better, but in a rivalry game like this, gosh, you just never know what might happen. It's got to be one of those games that comes right down to the wire, don't you think?
Well, most likely. I mean, again, a lot of quarterback, but, you know, I've never really seen the Bison play great down in Brookings in the Division I era. I mean, they've had some decent performances. 2019, they played pretty well, but generally, I mean, they're 4-6 in Brookings. It's a tough place to play. I mean, there's the crowd makes a difference. One of the few places in the FCS where it does. I mean, again, you can go here, Montana, Montana State, UND. That's about it for where you have to use the old silent count.
Yes.
It's a tough place to play. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, I love it when the big games are at night so the fans have a chance to get good and prepared, shall we say, for the game.
Yeah,
and it turns into a really fun night, and it should be an absolute blast. And I can't wait to watch it. And we'll be, of course, looking forward to following your coverage this weekend in the forum. Inforum.com is the place to catch all of Jeff's stuff. He's on Twitter as well, or X, I guess they call it now. Jeff, what's your handle over there on X?
Copac Forum. I got hacked, so I had to start over.
Oh, my gosh. Is that right? It happens to the best of us, yeah. All right, my man.
12,000 followers down the tube. Oh. Yeah, thank you, Steve.
It won't take long. You'll have them all back. Thanks again, Jeff. Appreciate you.
All right, thanks for having me.
You got it. Jeff Kolpak, nobody better. Been covering that team for, I would say, 100 years, but that ages him prematurely. We don't want to do that. All right, 532 Steve Alsham Show. Check of news and weather right now. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. Best place to buy a car, 15 minutes or less, and the paperwork is all done. Drivewithvision.com. Want to let you know that the good folks over at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center Would love to visit with you if you've been thinking for a long time about doing something different to rework your smile, but you just haven't got around to it. Dr. Matt Eaton is the guy over there, and he's dedicated his whole career to transforming smiles and restoring confidence one patient at a time. When you meet him, you'll feel that it's not just a job, it's a calling for him. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, Dr. Eaton helps everybody, young, seasoned, everybody in between. Whether you need a single tooth or a full mouth restoration, he's here to help with skill, compassion, and experience. That's an unbeatable combination right there. Whether you've been hiding your smile for years or you're ready for a fresh start, trust his skill, compassion, and experience. Visit DakotaDentalImplant.com today. Well, I'm pleased to have in studio today a guy who knows this studio pretty well. Andrew Sletten is a regular fill-in for me when I can't make it here for the show, and great to have him back here again today. Andrew, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for doing this. So I love what you guys are doing. Andrew is one of the organizers at Awakening Fargo. It's happening on Sunday. I know this has been something that you've been thinking about for a long time, and you and the people who are putting this together, now it's just going to be so fun to see how God leads in this thing. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, what this is. What's going to happen when everybody gets together on Sunday night, 6 o'clock at the Delta Hotel?
Yeah, it's a meeting that we, again, feel we're in the middle of a great awakening. And over the years, if you look at the history of our country, what really made our country what it is are the revivals of old. So you look back, even at the early 1900s, there was some really great revivals that sparked worldwide change and moves of the Spirit. And just, again, kind of a return to biblical values, but also just a connection with the Spirit of God. And so this meeting is going to be geared around that. There's going to be a worship. We have a great worship team. But it's going to be a night, I would say, of worship and petition. Mm. So as 2 Chronicles 7 tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And that's kind of our theme for this meeting, is we want hearts just to be turned to the Lord again. And the timing of this event is really interesting, because a couple of years ago, the Lord put this on our heart and we kind of began to plan it. But of course, with what's happened with the Charlie Kirk assassination, and just last month, I saw there was a record number of Bible sales in our country. And so people, I think, are feeling the pull of the Spirit, but are maybe unsure of their next steps. And that's what this meeting is geared towards, to connect people with the Spirit of God, and give them maybe a chance to connect with other community here in Fargo Moorhead, like-minded people that that love the Lord and want to see change in our community.
Now, your church, Antioch, is a big part of this, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and so is it sort of like an outreach project of the church? Is that how you'd describe this?
I would say so in some ways. We're partnering with other churches here in town. There's going to be a lot of colleagues, pastor and ministers there, just to, of course, be there for the event, but to help to support Antioch Church as well. We as a church, we wanted to make this investment into the community. And so it's just really connecting hungry hearts to community, so to small groups. And actually, at our website at awakeningfargo.com, people can go and they can fill out a community connection card. And we've been having people do that already. It's great, because we're able to connect with people that want either Bible study for them and their family, or connecting them to a small group. Again, kind of those next steps of, I'm feeling the pull of the Spirit, but now what?
Yeah.
And so this is just, we hope to be not the end, but the beginning, kind of a movement of people, of like-minded individuals to connect with the Spirit of God.
Are you hoping that maybe you do another one of these in the spring, and you do some of these on a regular basis to kind of just keep feeding people into the opportunities to connect and grow and that kind of a thing? Or is this sort of a one-time event? How do you envision this?
We've been talking with the team, and it's interesting how the doors that God has opened for us, and there's miraculous provision that God has given us. It's been really, really neat to see the hand of God be upon this. And so we do think it's going to be a multiple event thing. And so we'll see how those doors open up, but for sure an annual thing, just to, again, connect people together. And it's cool, the doors, again, that God has opened for me personally in the last 4 or 5 years, as far as Bible studies and just discussions about biblical truth and values. And over the last 5 years, there's an increase in just desire and hunger to know the Word of God. And so the season is is one where, again, awakenings of old have started like this. Mm. It's just a move of the Spirit is all you can kind of attest it to. It's not the work of man. It's just the Spirit of God moving. And so I think we have to ride the wave of the Spirit. And whatever that looks like, I think we're good with. But this meeting is one thing that we really felt is the beginning for us.
You mentioned Charlie Kirk's death, and I have been amazed. Maybe I shouldn't have been. I guess you just don't know. In my adult lifetime, we've never had anything like this happen.
Ever.
And so we were all kind of wondering what's going to happen and what's going to happen to the conservative movement. Charlie, I've always said Charlie was more of an evangelist and teaching people, trying to turn them to the Bible than he was a politician in just about every way. Certainly politics is kind of the platform that he used, but he really was talking about, okay, let's take these things that happen in the world and apply them to what we know the good book says and figure it out from there. So there is something about what's happening right now. The pastor of our church tells me that there are four new families going to church at the church we go to, and they say, I felt like we were supposed to do this after Charlie Kirk got killed. Like, how do you explain that? You can't, but it's like you say, these are not things that probably were ordained by people. It's things that happened there as well. It really seems like this is a time when there's a lot of people that are willing to walk into some place like this. And what I love about this is it's a hotel. It's not at a church, so it feels safe. But people are really seeking, and I think, I don't want to say it's cool to be a believer right now, but people are at least warming up to the idea of asking some of those questions right now. How do you see it?
Yeah, for sure. Like, what I described the Charlie Kirk assassination like is, I said, this wasn't a political assassination. It was a spiritual assassination. 100%
right. 100% right.
And so we recognize we're in a spiritual battle, and it is good versus evil. And I think a lot of people are asking the question, like, how do I engage in that spiritual battle? What does that look like? And to some, it may feel political at times, or it may feel like school board involvement, or it may feel like other things. But ultimately, we see the manifestation of that spiritual battle at play, and with, you know, no greater evidence than the Charlie Kirk assassination.
Yeah.
The hunger. And so this is the silver lining, of course, in his assassination is that, you know, he was a martyr for the faith, because you're exactly right. He led with his faith. And as a result of that, in fact, I was at an event last night. People were there and they said, I'm here because Charlie Kirk has stirred me. Mm. And just with his courage to speak, basically, I have to get off the couch and do something. Yeah. And that's true in the political world, but even more so in the things of the Spirit. And I just think the enemy always overplays his hand, and you look in Acts chapter 7, the martyrdom of Stephen, it was exactly the same thing that we see with the Charlie Kirk assassination. And so it's just the movement of the Spirit, and it's exciting. It really is exciting.
Did this come about after Charlie Kirk's death, or had you been thinking about and planning it before then?
We started planning the beginning of this year. So we booked the Delta, I think, in March of this year. It's been a long time in the planning stages. And again, as the doors have opened and shut with different things, we just kind of have felt after what God wants for this meeting. It's really neat. One of the cool stories I'll just share quickly is there was some individuals that just felt led after we made this decision to make this investment into this meeting. People felt led to donate to the cause. And it's just amazing to see the provision that God has given us as a result of just taking those steps of faith. So it's the times that we live in where you walk and take those steps of faith and then you watch God provide.
Yeah.
That's what's fun.
Yeah,
I mean,
really
as
cool.
Any believer, it's a lot of fun.
When people come on Sunday night, are they going to feel like they're going to a church service? Will it feel like a concert? Will it feel like a rally? What kind of things can people expect? We talked earlier in our program about an event that's going on over in Moorhead this week that'll be a very different feel. So I think people are kind of just curious about what this is going to be. If I'm someone who's, okay, the whole religion thing is a little intimidating. I got a lot of skeletons in my closet. I might be a little uncomfortable doing this. What can they expect when they walk in the door?
It's a good question. There's going to be, we're bringing in a worship team, a very gifted, skilled, anointed worship team. And so the people there, if they are around Christianity at all, they'll recognize the songs that we're singing, but there's going to be worship, definitely. And it's going to be passionate worship. And so it'll be a little churchy in that regard. And then there is a speaker, but it's not going to be a traditional kind of sermon type of style.
Repent, sinner.
Yeah. It's going to be what we call like a flow service. So we want the Spirit of God to move. And we, and this is, again, you go and look at one event, I would say, that would be, if you can go and read about the Azusa Street revivals of the early 1900s, it was people that gathered together just with the intention of just connecting with the Spirit of God. And so it's going to be geared around that. It's going to be not your traditional church service in many ways. And it's going to be a night of worship. And so to some, it may feel like a concert. To those that are familiar with the songs, it's going to feel like worship.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Do I have to dress up? Is it a come as I am kind
it's
of a
casual,
thing?
Yeah.
Your rules? Do I have to check enough boxes to get in? How
Everybody
does this work?
Is welcome. There is no registration required. The doors open at 5:30 this Sunday. The event starts at 6 o'clock. And it's just casual, business casual, however people usually show up is kind of how we're all going to show up. And yeah, it'll probably go for about 2 hours, I'd say. People can come and go, of course, as they please. But it's, again, no cost, no registration. Feel free to show up at the Delta, 5:30. Doors open, 6 o'clock event this Sunday.
AwakeningFargo.com is the website. You can find out more there. And we've been saying it all, well, last couple of weeks here, we've been talking this up a little bit, and it does feel heavy right now. It feels divided. It feels like everybody is against everybody else. And in reality, I don't think it is that way. And I love things like this where you're saying, hey, Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever, come as you are and let's just hang out together and let's just give more people a chance to bump into God, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're doing here.
That's it.
And so we love it. Congrats on this. Thank you for doing this on behalf of the believers in our community. When we see things like this happen, it's a big encouragement to know that, hey, there's a lot of people out there that are trying to make something good happens. And it does happen. It does feel like we're kind of at a crossroads right now. And maybe it's, obviously, it's supposed to be that way, I guess, right? That's the plan. And here we are. And it'll be a powerful night for sure. And we know that if you and your team are putting it on, it'll be done well and be true to what the Scripture teaches. A lot of people wonder about that now, too. I know over at Antioch, you try to go very, very carefully by, you know, not kind of rewriting the rule book.
That's right.
So it'll be something that you can be glad to be a part of. I have to ask you, I've not heard of Cornelius Williams. Tell us about the Reverend here. He's going to be speaking.
Yeah, he is. He has been to Antioch before, so he's familiar with the area, and he is basically a traveling evangelist, but he travels really all over the country, different meetings, and just has a really good pulse on the Spirit and what it's, you know, a great voice to this generation right now into kind of what the Spirit is speaking and doing. And a good friend of mine, and we're really excited to have him there.
Well, if you are listening to this thinking, you know, I should probably go. That little voice is telling you something that you should pay attention to, and it might be the good Lord giving you a little nudge on this
Amen.
One. And if nothing else, I mean, nobody's going to ask you to get up and sing or give money or, you know, make some commitment to things for the rest of your life. Just come and take it in and get your heart full, right? I mean, that's kind of the big thing.
Can't say it any better.
Just an opportunity to really have your spirit filled. And you don't have to know God. You don't have to be any certain way. Just show up and just take it all in. Sit back and be an observer and get as involved as you like. It should be a great time. Andrew, thanks for sharing the story about this. Thanks for what you're doing there. And I'm going to be over there myself, so I can't wait to be part of it and see what happens there. And it's just really cool to see your team putting something like this together and seeing how God might move. Should be fun. Sunday night, 6 o'clock, Delta Hotel. Should be a great time. So we'll see you over there, brother.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for
Appreciate
stopping
it.
In. Andrew Sletten from Antioch Church. 551, Steve Hallstrom Show. Before we finish up, I told you I would do this, and we had a couple things that got in our way. But what is Christmas going to look like in the shopping season here? Well, some big companies think they've got some answers, and we'll talk about that next. Speaking of fun things to go to, an evening with Brian Kilmeade and Jimmy Failla coming up Saturday, November 15th at the Fargo Holiday Inn. All kinds of fun events to take in next few weekends here. You got Brian Kilmeade, who is part of that monster morning program on Fox News Channel. Jimmy Failla, who does the Saturday night show there, does a radio program here on the flag as well. And there's more than just a good time at stake here, because if you take a look, we were talking about this with Andrew, about the kind of crazy times that we have, the tumultuous times we have, and especially after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, his legacy is living on through others now. And Freedom Matters USA has taken up that mission to make North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Montana number one per capita with chapters of Turning Point USA in our high schools and college. So your donations will help make that happen. And donation, basically, you donate and get a ticket. So go to freedommattersusa.com, freedommattersusa.com. There are VIP tickets, veterans and student ticket discounts as well. So check all of that out at freedommattersusa.com. All right. CNBC reports retail executives say customers are going to hunt for deals big time this year, more than they maybe ever have before. So companies are rolling out holiday campaigns earlier and tweaking how they are offering discounts. Kohl's is one who said they're seeking customers who are trading down or pulling back. So they're looking for that, maybe that luxury shopper who maybe has to cut back a little bit and looking for things at a little bit different price level. So only 2 months now till Christmas there. Amazon says its Prime Day sales event, like Black Friday, will grab some portion of the holiday shopping wallet share as well. So that's coming up here soon also. And some of the sporting goods retailers out there say that they think people are really going to be taking closer notes than they ever have before about where, when to shop to get the best possible deals as well. One of the sporting goods stores said, if we ran a promotion for 10 days last year, we might only run it for 4 days this year, but we're going to do it over Thanksgiving weekend, or be very targeted. So instead of promoting the whole brand, maybe find some specific things as well. So we'll see what happens here. They think it's going to still be a pretty good holiday shopping season, but it's going to have to be the high-wealth Americans that are doing most of the heavy lifting. All right, well, we've done all of our heavy lifting for the day and for the week. Thanks for being with me, my friend. Have a great weekend, and keep on flying that flag.